The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After he was baptized by John, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him. And suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. This is the desert. The desert is a dangerous place. There is no food. There is no water. People die without food and water. Nothing grows there, so when the wind blows, the shape of the desert changes. People lose their way. The desert is a dangerous place. People do not go there unless they have to. It takes courage to go into the desert. So begins one of our godly play stories that our children hear in Sunday school. The words set the scene. The barrenness, the loneliness, the fear. Most of us can relate in some way, even if we've never been in an actual physical desert. Sometimes we talk about walking through a desert or wilderness of grief or suffering. Sometimes we talk about Lent as a desert or wilderness through which we make our pilgrimage towards Easter. We strip our lives down in Lent, trying to refocus on the essentials, the love and mercy of God, the things we need rather than the things we crave. Worship without frills. For 6 weeks, our lives can be like a winter garden, full of possibilities, but outwardly sparse. And in winter, a garden can look rather like a desert. In today's Genesis reading, we are in the Garden of Eden, luxuriating with Adam and Eve in the innocent morning of creation. We imagine Eden as a place filled with color and light, birds singing in the trees, fragrant flowers, ripening fruit, everything we could possibly want or need within arm's length. It's a place of rest and freedom. Freedom from self-consciousness and guilt. Rest from anxiety and fear. Adam and Eve have no need to go anywhere or do anything. They are complete, just as they are, resting in God's loving care. There is no lying, no hiding, no scarcity, and no fear. No wonder it's called paradise. And there's no curiosity, no craving for understanding, no trying to fill a God-shaped hole inside. And here comes the serpent. He's one of God's creatures, and yet he sets himself up in opposition to God. He introduces first doubt, then competition, and then curiosity into the woman's fertile mind. And she falls for the trick, literally the oldest trick in the book. What harm can it do to know more? And those seductive words, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. They sound so good. So the man and the woman eat, and their eyes are opened. And they don't die, not right away. That part of the serpent's insinuation is correct, as all of the tempter's lies are partially correct. But they're not like God. They can't create the garden as God created it. They can't regain their innocence. And in their guilt and confusion, they start to hide from one another, sewing loincloths out of leaves. And death starts its stealthy approach. The garden begins to dry up, to shrivel, to shrink, to become brown and barren, to throw out thorns and briars. It starts to look a lot less like a garden and a lot more like a desert. We don't hear the rest of the story today, but we know all too well how it ends, with the banishment and the curse, Adam and Eve dragged out, kicking and screaming, into the desert. In contrast, in the Gospel, Jesus enters the desert willingly, following the call of the Spirit. He goes into that dry place, into terrifying solitude, 40 days of facing his own demons, uncertain of survival. People lose their way in the desert. There are no signposts and no permanent roads. Mirages shimmer far off and vanish when you get up close. You can forget who you are and who God is in the desert. But Jesus doesn't forget. No matter how persuasive the serpent is in his new guise, no matter how much good Jesus might do, feed the hungry, get everyone's attention, take over the world, the temptations don't work. Jesus returns again and again to the truth of God's word, and the tempter is temporarily banished. Just as a garden may become a desert, with catastrophic results, as millions of people in Africa know, so a desert may become a garden. Under the right conditions, the desert will bloom overnight. All it takes is a little living water. So Jesus transforms the desert of temptation into a garden of abundance, calling on the living water of God's word. When God accompanies us into the desert, we may find that it becomes a garden. Our deacon, Dana, has been battling serious illness for some time now, and she's given me permission to share some of her experience with you. Living with cancer can feel like you're in the desert. Which way should you go? Where is God? In this desert, there is grief and pain, loneliness and fear. Yet Dana tells me that she has experienced the desert's transformation into a garden through the living water of God's loving presence. Last week in Charlottesville, she underwent treatment that involved having a metal frame screwed into her skull and being hooked up to a massive radiation machine. She was surrounded by technology and technicians. She had to place her full trust in their skill. It's a frightening place to be, like a desert. But Dana said she experienced that desert as a garden because she was so certain of God's love embracing her. She shared with me a meditation that she's written on an old song by Led Zeppelin, The Rain Song. And I want to share a very small section of it with you. As I walk this path that draws me ever closer to God, There before me has he set his garden. The dormant ground submits to the warmth of the sun, urging new growth to push through, the earth's internal core of heat gently supporting the growth from below. Waters fall upon the earth to soften and nourish all that is contained within it and upon it. I steal a glimpse of what his garden holds. Its lush beauty abounds, rich with color, gifts of fragrance, the clean classic lines of a gentle stalk or leaf. Am I allowed to enter? I ask. Then the garden gate swings open. Once we listened to the tempter's lies, and the garden became a desert. But then Jesus restored the truth, and the desert began its transformation. As we wander our wilderness of Lent, or of suffering, or of loss, we too may hear the word of truth and see the garden bloom and the gate swing open. So step forward without fear into your Lenten wilderness. The garden awaits. Amen.